Amen. Is everybody doing well tonight? Yeah. All right. Praise God. We could go ahead and throw the first picture up there if you like. But we did have an amazing weekend with the youth and young adults, starting a Friday night and going through Saturday. We went to West Conference, and I was so glad to see that we had a good group come with us. We actually had 13 youth, and we had 2 young adults, plus 5 leaders. So there was a group of 20 of us who went. And so praise God, we went up there in 4 different vehicles, and we all made it safely. Thank the Lord. You know, it's, sometimes driving on the freeway could be a little cray-cray when you're driving that far. Anybody ever almost been ran off the road by a big semi-truck before? Yeah, like more than once? Yeah. Yeah, honey. Yeah. Well, we went up there and wow, started off with a lot of energy just coming right in. People are lined up at the doors waiting to get inside. And when the doors open up, you know, we're a group of 20, so we're trying to sit together. But man, everybody flooded the room so fast. We're like, oh my goodness. Okay. We had some of our group was in the front of the line and they tried to get the seats, but everybody just filled it up. So we actually weren't able to all sit together on that first one, but we were pretty close within a couple rows of each other. And so started off with a lot of energy. They had a Christian rapper get up and start doing some Christian rap, which was great. I found out afterwards our youth really liked that. And they don't know any Christian rap artists. So I think we need to introduce them to some because there's quite a few good ones out there. But the first gentleman who spoke that night was Pastor Tim Timberlake. I don't think he's related to Justin Timberlake, but you know, we could check it out, maybe, possibly. But he started off ministering to our young people, and he was saying that God sees more in you than you see in yourself, and really calling the youth to discover who they are in Christ, letting go of all these preconceived ideas and how hard they can be on themselves, to let all that go and to see what God says about them and rise up to what God has called them to. So actually, the first night, it was only like an hour and a half long. Worship was great, and the message was good. And so we jumped in our cars, cruised home, and got ready for the next day. And I was thinking, oh boy, how many of our young people are going to show up? Because we got to meet at the church at 8 a.m. And it was kind of a late night. By the time everybody got back, it might have been closer to 10. By the time they got home, maybe closer to 11 when they're ready for bed. And so I'm thinking, Lord, bring them back. And praise God, they came back. So thank the Lord. Yeah, I met up at 8 a.m. here in the church parking lot. I tried to entice them with some Costco muffins, you know, those big muffins, the blueberry and the chocolate ones. Yes, so hopefully that helped out a little bit. And we made it back up. And I would say this about the conference. It just crescendoed. It just got better and better all throughout. And so worship was great coming in. Still a ton of energy. Everybody's lined up at the doors again. I think we sat a little closer together this time around. And as we got in there, it was actually Tim Sommers. He's actually the youth pastor at Elevation Church. If you guys know Stephen Furtick and Elevation Worship. Yeah, he's a youth pastor over there. And I appreciated the way he started off when he got up. He started calling people out and prophesying over them. And I was like, praise God. All right. Allowing the move of the Spirit over here. You know, you're thinking sometimes when you go to these conferences, it could just be a lot of hype and you want something deeper, right? And so I was great. You could feel the weight of the presence of God in the room as he's doing it. And then he gets into his message, and it was excellent, I would say, especially towards the end. He was yielding to the Spirit of God, and he said, you know what? He goes, I want to see a show of hands. And he goes, don't raise your hands if this isn't you. He goes, this isn't something you see other people raising their hands, so you're going to raise your hands too. He goes, but I just feel like there's a lot of people in here. A lot of you are dealing with an oppressive, very heavy anxiety, and it's just with you. Right when you wake up in the morning, it's hard to get out of bed. And it is just there, and it's heavy. And he's like, even some of you have even thought about suicide. And he's like, look, if that's you, and again, don't raise your hands like everybody else. Just if this is you, raise your hand. Over half the people in the room raised their hands, dealing with this anxiety and fear. Maybe part of it is because we went through the time of COVID for a while. But all these hands go up, and he has us lay hands on each other, and he allowed us to take our time to pray for each other. And it was great. It was powerful. And then he leads everybody to go ahead and get on their knees and just worship the Lord. And everybody's in there. Everybody's on their knees. All of our group, they're all on their knees with their hands lifted, seeking God. And it was an awesome experience. And so there was hardly even a transition before the pastor of the church stepped up for his opportunity to speak. No break in between. And he just stepped right in and just carried things even further. And so he is a pastor, Nebstead, and he's the senior pastor of Fellowship Church where this event was held. And he was encouraging the people. It actually went right along with what Pastor Tim was saying, that you know what, when these thoughts are going through your mind and the enemy's coming at you, you need to know how to talk back. You need to know how to speak to these thoughts. You need to know how to use your authority. You're a child of God. Use your authority, and you say, be quiet. Yeah. And so he started saying things. He goes, when I say this, I want you all to yell back at me, be quiet. This is what he was saying. And so he goes, you're not good enough. And everybody yells at him, be quiet. And he goes, you'll never amount to anything. You're stupid. You're ugly. You're this, you're that. And everybody's, be quiet. And I mean, it was interesting to hear the, you know, like 1,200 people yelling at the pastor to be quiet, right? I hope that never happens over here. Hopefully not tonight. But it was good because he's getting them involved and they're shouting them down, you know, be quiet. And he's saying, that's the way. He goes, use your dad voice, you know, use your powerful voice. Tell this thing it needs to stop. You're not going to put up with these thoughts in your mind anymore. And then the last speaker, he was excellent. I mean, it was great to see our young people get involved too, you know, to see them shouting out. And so, actually, do we have the next picture up there? So they were paying attention, attentively. I was looking down. I'm thinking, is anybody falling asleep? Do I need to go tap anybody on the shoulder? But no, they're looking up. We'll go to the next picture as well. All right, we all grabbed some grub together in between the services, and it was good. We got some tacos right there. And we had to wait a bit for our food, but, you know, through faith and patience, right? We inherit the promises. All right, go ahead and go to the next one. Things got so hype, we were bouncing off the ceiling. All right? Things got so wild. And so that, I mean, you could tell where the furniture is at. We are on the ceiling right here doing our Spider-Man thing, you know, just caught up in the presence of God. And then we'll go ahead and show the next one there. That might help you all to see a little bit better. And then we just completely flipped the room over and got a lot of happy faces right there. And I think, do we have one more picture? Was that the last one? Or do we have uno más? Oh, that was it? All right, great. Yeah, so awesome time. The last speaker gets up there. And I thought this was great because a lot of times, you know, young people, they'll go to these conferences and then they'll leave, and then what does the enemy do right away? He tries to come steal the seed that was sown. You know, they're feeling fired up. I want to live for God. I've encountered God like I'd never experienced him before. And then the enemy comes. Jesus said the enemy comes for the word's sake. He's trying to come. He's trying to steal all that joy, all that peace, all that hope that they received while they were there. So the last speaker was encouraging them, look, you guys, you need to keep what God has given you. He goes, write it down. Write it down. Make sure you go back and look at it on a heavy day. You know, he goes, look at today's Saturday, but guess what? Monday's coming, and Monday could come with a lot of stuff. And he goes, you all better go to church tomorrow because you need to stay encouraged. They ended up having everybody move all the seats back. And we went into a time of worship at the end. It was excellent. There was no rush on it. And it was, you could feel the weight of the presence of God. Pastor Nepstead's wife got up there and it was encouraging people. If you have your prayer language and you pray in tongues, begin to just worship God. And if you don't, just lift up your voice and sing out a new song to the Lord. And it was such an excellent presence of God in the room. And then they said, okay, I mean, we went there for a while, you know, we just encountering the presence of God so good. And then the person who was kind of overseeing and doing all the transitions, he got up there. He goes, we're going to end on a high note. We need everybody up in the front. Come up here. And then they played some awesome praise music, and everybody's jumping up and down, worshiping the Lord. And it was like ending on a crescendo, on a high note, ending in victory. And it was an amazing time. It was really good. So I want to say thank you to everybody who helped support our youth, who was willing to give and to sponsor some of our youth. That was amazing. These conferences are such an important time for them to get away from the norm. You know, when it's just, okay, we go to church on Sunday because that's what we do. And then sometimes come to church on Wednesday because it's the routine. But when they break out of the norm and they get away from everything and everyone, and they see 1,200 other people worshiping and going crazy for Jesus, you know, it helps them to break free from all the pressures and the anxiety that a lot of them said that they had. Helps them to break free from that and just be free to worship God. It opens them up so that God could come in and touch them. And so thank you so much for being a part of this. And Lord, we thank you for what you have done in our young people. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would seal it up inside of them, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would guard them. Hallelujah. And we declare in the name of Jesus that what they receive, Lord, at this conference will remain with them and will not be stolen away in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We surround them by your word in the authority of Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. All right. It was an awesome time. And I was very happy to be a part of it myself. Babe, were you happy? I was so glad you were there with me. Well, tonight I want to jump into the word and we're going to talk about in Christ alone. In Christ alone. Hallelujah. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the love that you have for us. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah. That you didn't withhold your son from us, but you gave him up for us all. Lord, to save us from our own sin, to save us from the wrath that we were worthy of, God, but to bring us out of darkness into your marvelous light, to wash us clean. And so we can not only be clean, but so we can be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this church, Heart of the Bay Christian Center, for our pastors, Lord. We pray that you would be glorified in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Paul wrote a letter to the Galatians. Does anybody know what that letter is called? Galatians. There you go. All right. We read our Bibles around here. He wrote a letter to them. It's called Galatians. It's in your Bible. And he asked this question. And I think we can ask this question to ourselves. And maybe we can ask this question to people who we know are heavy hearted and they're going through it. In Galatians 4:15. He says, what has happened to all your joy? What has happened to all your joy? You Galatians, when the word of God came to you, you believed in foreign gods and gods that were not gods at all. And the message of Jesus Christ came to you to free you from your sin, to wash you clean, to know the one true living God. The creator of all things, and you experienced the joy of your salvation. You encountered faith in Jesus. You put all your hope and your confidence in him, and you were filled with such joy and peace. And he says, what has happened to all your joy? What has happened to it? Who is coming among you? What are you listening to? What is going on? You see, what was going on with the Galatians is people were coming in who were Jewish and they were trying to say, look it, okay, you believe in Jesus, but you also need to practice the Jewish tradition as well. Because, you know, Jesus was a Jew. And so they're saying you still need to live up to these aspects of the law. Otherwise, you're not really going to have favor with God. You're not going to be right with God. You know, you need to do all these different things. And they're coming in and they're spreading these lies. And what they're doing is they're saying, Jesus was good, but he's not enough. What he did, I mean, wow, what a man. But he wasn't enough. So let me lay out to you the law so you could really have favor with God. Let me show you what you need to do so that you can really be close to God and God's blessing will be upon your life because what Jesus did just, it wasn't quite enough to get you completely close to the Lord. And you see, Paul paints such a clear picture in Galatians, but I think sometimes we could kind of skim it over and we don't see how it relates to our own lives and how we could say, okay, I believe in Jesus. But do we really know what that means to believe in Jesus? To have faith in Jesus? You see, Paul, when he's talking to the Galatians throughout the first couple chapter, he keeps emphasizing the gospel that came to you. This gospel that came. Gospel, gospel, gospel. He's saying it over and over again. And what is the gospel? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The good news that God sent his son to pay the price for our sin so we wouldn't have to. And through faith in him, we can be born again. We can become children of God. So he's sharing with them the gospel. And then in the next couple chapters, he begins to emphasize over and over justification through faith in Jesus. It's through faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus. And people will say, well, I have faith in Jesus. I have faith. I believe in Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. But what does it mean to have faith in Jesus? You see, is it just something that we say? Is it just, I said a prayer one day and I invited Jesus into my heart and so I have faith in Jesus? Faith in Jesus will completely redefine you, all you think and all that you do. When you put your faith in Jesus, what does that mean? That means when you come to Jesus, you realize I cannot save myself. There's no hope for me on my own. My only hope is in him. My only confidence is in him. And you see, in Romans chapter 1:17, it says we go from faith to faith. And when we're going from faith to faith, it means we should go from one degree of trust and hope and confidence in Jesus to a whole nother one. You see, we have this saving faith that came when the Holy Spirit worked in our heart, when we heard the gospel and we realized Jesus is the only way to be saved. Whatever I was believing before was a lie. He is the only way. I need to put all my trust and my hope in him. And as you do that and you put your complete confidence in him, you begin to lose confidence in your own ability. You know, some people, they place their confidence in their own ability. And they're looking to themselves and what I can do. Maybe some of you before you came to Christ, there was a lot of confidence in what you can do. And you're like, if it's going to be done, I'm going to do it. But do you know that the life that God has called you to is so far beyond you? The calling upon your life is impossible for you to achieve on your own. And God designed it like that on purpose. You see, everything done outside of faith is sin. Everything done outside of, and it's not just faith for faith's sake. It's faith in Jesus. Whenever we're talking about faith, it is faith in Jesus. You see, everything that this Word of God points to, the Old Testament and the New, it's all pointing to who? It's pointing to Jesus. When we talk about faith, we're talking about faith in Jesus. Justification by faith is through faith in him. When you're healed by faith, it's not faith in your confessions. It's not faith in just quoting something. It's faith in Jesus. Faith in what he has done. And you know what? Everything that Jesus did, it was enough and more than enough to completely wash us and cleanse us and satisfy the just demands of a holy God. Hallelujah. And when you live that lifestyle, when you realize I can do nothing on my own, when you realize, like you did when you were saved, that I need him. I need him. I need his peace. I need him to have confidence in life. I need his ability to live. When you realize I need him, you're putting all of your confidence and hope is wrapped up in Jesus. It's not supposed to be wrapped up in what you can do and what you can accomplish and how smart you are. You see, when you begin to put all of your confidence in him, you're going to seek him. You're going to want to know him and how to walk pleasing to him. And it's not because of rules and regulations. It's for the sake of the relationship with your Savior who loved you so much that he died for you. My aim is my focus, and my focus is Jesus. My aim is my focus, and my focus is Jesus. Do you guys know what it means to sin? It means to miss the mark. Okay? But I set my aim on my focus, and I focus on Jesus in everything. No matter what's coming my way, no matter what circumstances arise, all of my confidence and my hope is in him. But other thoughts could seep in so subtly. And you know what it does? It will rob you of your joy. And it will steal the peace of God away from you. Let me read the scripture to you before we dive into something a little more. Romans 14, 17 through 18 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking." Right? It's not a matter of these ritualistic things. Rituals that maybe the Galatians were hearing about. You're observing special months and days and festivals. What are you doing, Galatians? And Paul is writing here in Romans, and he's saying the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking and these rules and regulations and ceremonies. He says, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Verse 18 goes on to say, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. But you know how you walk in righteousness, peace, and joy? It's by walking by faith. Not faith for faith's sake. Walking by faith in Jesus. Whenever we say faith, you need to think Jesus. Whenever you hear about faith in here, you need to think Jesus. Jesus. My faith is in Him. My whole confidence, my whole trust is leaning upon Jesus and Him alone. Not Jesus and works, Jesus and my ability, Jesus and, no. Jesus only. Jesus completely. Hallelujah. If you will keep your focus on Him, you will experience His grace, His joy. You're going to walk in His righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. But listen to this. Okay, this was a stern warning from Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8 in the NLT. It says, this is what the Lord says. These are strong words. It says, cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. That's strong language. Who turn their hearts away from the Lord to trust in humans. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited salty land. But listen to this. It says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Amen. Blessed are those. When you know where to set your hope, when you know where to set your confidence, and everything in the world is trying to steer you away from it. They are like trees planted along a riverbank, with roots that reach down deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Amen. Hallelujah. Is that you? Is that you where you put all your hope and your confidence in Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's easy to talk about in church. There's a psalm, I love this one, it's Psalm 20 and verses 7 and 8. It says, some trust in horses, and some in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees, but we rise up. Hallelujah, and we stand firm. Hallelujah. But you know what? What about when life starts coming at you? What about when the bills start looking overwhelming, or your kids start going off into the world? What about when your marriage is suffering? What about when sickness is trying to come upon you? What about when nations are coming against our nations and our nation is, the leadership is all crazy? Where is your hope going to be? Where is your confidence going to be? Will you be shaken by what's going on around you? Will you be shaken by what's going on in that nation and what's being said over here and what's going on in California? What's going on in your family? Or can you place the whole of your confidence and hope in the one man, Christ Jesus? Can you look to Him and realize our God is mighty to save? There is nothing too difficult for Him. Hallelujah. It might be difficult for man, but it is not difficult for God. And people, they'll look to substances or they'll look to certain kinds of teachings to try to find what they need. Teachings in other religions. People will look all over. They'll say, try this or try that. They're looking for hope. They're looking for rest. But we know that the only place that we could truly find it is in Jesus. Through faith in Him. Through faith in Him. You see, when you have faith and confidence in Him, you're going to come to Him. You're not going to wait till it's the last thing you can do. And then I guess we better pray because there's nothing else to do. You're going to seek Him first. Lord, this is going on in my family. God, this is going on in my life. Lord, this is what's happening in my nation. God, these things are taking place, Lord, and they're too big for me. They're too wonderful for me. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on You. My eyes are on Jesus. I am looking to Him. Hallelujah. The things that are stressing you out in life, the things that are weighing upon you, if you will set your focus to gaze on Jesus, you will feel His peace. Amen. You might not even see how it's going to all come through yet, but you will know my hope is in Him and I will not be put to shame. My confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't trust in my own ability. I can't trust in other people to try to come through for me. You know, it's really frustrating when you're depending on someone else and they don't come through. But the Bible says all who put their hope in the Lord, they will never be put to shame. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can put your hope and your trust in Him. Hallelujah. Isaiah 7 verse 9, it says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Wow. You know, in this time that we're living in, people want to mix Jesus with other things. And they will try to make you feel guilty about being a Christian because you're so dogmatic and you're so exclusive. Why can't you just say it's okay to believe in everything? Why can't you just say, well, you can have some of Jesus, but you could also have some of this other religion? Society will make you feel guilty about being a Christian, and they'll try to make you feel hateful for being a Christian. They'll say, you're being so hateful. Why aren't you more inclusive of other people? Why aren't you more inclusive of other religions? Because there is no hope in those religions. Paul was speaking to the Galatians, and he's like, you were saved out of all of that. You were saved out of all these other things. We're thinking you got to be good enough to live up to these false gods. And Paul is saying, look, your hope needs to be completely set in Jesus alone. Your confidence needs to be completely based on Him. It's not Jesus and. It's Jesus only. And society, when they're coming at you and they're trying to make you feel bad about it, you need to know what you believe in and stand firm and say, no, I believe in Jesus. And He said Himself, He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. I believe in Jesus, the only one true way. And if you do not stand in faith, you will not stand at all. Isaiah is saying that when these nations are rising up against them, and he's speaking to the king by a prophetic word, and he's saying, look it, what are these kings that are coming against you? They are nothing. He's belittling them. And he says, you need to stand in faith. You need to put all of your confidence, you need to put all of your hope in God. Because if you don't do that, if you don't stand in faith, you're not going to stand at all. And this faith that is a lifestyle, where it says, I will live close to God. I can't do this without You, Lord. And I'm not even going to try. When I wake up in the morning, Jesus, give me grace for today. God, give me strength. Lord, whatever comes my way, show me what to do. Show me what to say. When you're putting all of your confidence and your hope in Him, you see, you stop doing the things you used to, not because of rules and regulations, but because you want to be close to your Savior. Because you feel in your heart, the Holy Spirit is convicting you. You see, even though Paul was speaking to the Galatians and he's saying it's not by works and it's not by law, he still said also, he said, don't be fooled. God can't be mocked. Whatever you sow to, you're going to reap from. Those who sow to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit life and peace. But when you sow to the flesh and the sinful nature, you're going to reap death. And so when you're walking close to God and you're putting all of your hope and trust in Him, you're thinking, am I doing what is pleasing to Him? I want to live a life that God can bless. Because God will not bless sin. He will not bless rebellion. When you're living just like the world, God can't place His blessing upon that. But when you honor Him, He will honor you. And when you realize, I can't do this alone. I need His help. Just like when you were saved, you realize I couldn't do it alone. I need His help. When you realize in life, if I want to do all the Lord has called me to, if I want to know what my purpose and destiny is here, I need to live close. Amen. I don't want to do these things that get between me and God. I don't want to do anything that's not fully pleasing to Him. I want to honor Him with my life, with the things I think. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your eyes, O God. Amen. When you're living like that, and you start, instead of putting your confidence in what you can do, you place your confidence in Christ alone, you begin to see He's going to start speaking to you. And He's going to lead you into things that are greater than you. And you're going to need faith in Him to step out. Because you know there's no way I could do this on my own. There's no way I could accomplish what God has called me to on my own. If we don't stand in faith, we're not going to stand at all. In Jude is a really interesting book in the Bible. Jude is right before Revelation. And in Jude, do we have it up there? Yeah, it says, Beloved, hallelujah. It says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you, let's do it in another translation. Let's do that in the New King James. Do you have it up there? Yeah. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. I think I had it in the NLT here. It says, Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. He's saying, I wanted to write to you this joyful letter about the salvation that we have in Jesus. He goes, but I need you to contend for the faith because it is under attack. These people are coming in and they're coming in among you. And they're saying that the grace of God is a license to sin. They're coming in among you and they're saying what Jesus did. Jesus was just another person. He was just maybe another prophet. They're diminishing who Jesus is, and they're emphasizing grace to the point they're excluding Jesus and righteousness, and they're saying it's okay to live however you want. Just do what feels good. What is society today saying? If it feels good, do it. You know, what about my truth? You have your truth. I have my truth. You know, who are you to judge the way that I live? Who are you to think about me? You know, you're such a judgmental Christian. Saying, I'm speaking the truth in love when I'm saying Jesus is the only way. When I'm saying Jesus, He's both Savior and He is Judge. The Bible says we will all one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we will give an account to Him to everything that we've done in the flesh, both good and bad. And unless you have the blood of Jesus washing you clean, you will not stand in that day. Society today is trying to diminish Jesus, just making Him out to be another person. And you can feel the pressure of society weighing upon you. And I think a lot of our young people who are in that room and they're feeling the anxiety because they're thinking, oh, this is what all my friends are thinking at school. And I feel like they're making me feel so bad for being a Christian. And they're making me feel like I'm a hateful person for putting my hope and my trust in Jesus. But we need to know that it is Christ alone. It is Christ alone that our hope is found. Everything else is shaking ground. There is no other hope. The Bible says when people are without Christ, they're without God and without hope in the world. Hallelujah. And so you have Jude writing to them and he's saying, these people are getting in among you and they are diminishing Jesus. He's like, they're like clouds with no rain. I'm warning you, contend for the faith. Stand firm in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be ashamed to speak His name. You see, people will get up and they'll give speeches and they'll be okay to say God. But when somebody gets up and they say the name of Jesus, you could almost feel how everybody gets a little nervous in the room. Because there is power and authority in the name of Jesus. It's the only name given under heaven by which we must be saved, through Christ Jesus alone. We need to know how to stand in this faith that is in Him. in the faith of the one who gave his life for you, who poured out his blood for you, who rose up from the grave and who lives forever today. And he will raise you up with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it is in him alone that you need to place all your hope and your confidence, because everything else can shake. What happens in society if they start coming after you because you're a Christian? What happens if they start seizing your assets? Or you could lose your job because you're a Christian. Where is your hope and where is your faith? Where is your confidence in that day when things start to get heavy? When things start to come down on you and you see society is not very friendly towards Christians? Will you still say, my hope is in Jesus? It starts now. It starts now, where you're placing all of your trust in him. Where you say, you know what? No, I'm not going to compromise on the job. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to steal, because I live by faith in Jesus. I don't need to do these things that the world does to get ahead, because my hope and my confidence is in him. I don't need to try to make a way for myself or trust in the arm of the flesh and my own ability, because my confidence is in Christ alone. And it will affect everything. You'll realize, I need to treat my wife right. I need to treat my husband right, because my hope is in Jesus. And I don't want anything to block my prayers. You know, the Bible says your prayers can be blocked if you're not treating your spouse right. Don't you want your prayers to be answered? Yeah? You better check yourself, right? Check yourself before God. You see, it's not a matter of holy living because we're living according to a bunch of rules and regulations. It's this relationship that we have with God where we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. We are sealed with the Spirit of God. And when you live pleasing to God and you place your trust in him, he will take you farther than you thought you can go. He'll show you more things than you thought you could know. Your life will not only be blessed, but your life will be a blessing to those around you. When you stand firm in the midst of persecution, and you are not shaken, and you still have your joy, and you still have your peace, the Bible says it's a sign to others that they are perishing, but that you are not. It is a sign to people when you stand fast in the midst of hardship. You see, troubles are going to come. Even when you're doing everything right, and even when you're honoring God, there's still going to be troubles that come your way. Life might get really shaky, but you don't have to shake, because your hope is in Jesus, because you have faith in Jesus alone. Your faith isn't in your job. Your trust is not in your employer. You're not leaning on some person or some sort of an inheritance that you might receive. You're not looking to these external things to support you and be there for you. You are setting your focus firmly on Christ alone. Amen. And when you do that, you are unshakable. And you will stand firm as a child of God who does not love their life unto the death. But you say, for me, like we were singing, for me to live is Christ. When I live, I'm living through faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I know where I'm going when I leave this earth. I know the hope that I have. I am not afraid and I am not ashamed. I will stand boldly for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I will loudly proclaim his name. Because it is the only name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24 says this. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boast about this, that he understands and knows me. Hallelujah. That I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Where is your boast and where is your confidence? Is your boast in your job? Is it in the amount of money that you make? Is it in the friends that you have or your family or your culture? Where is your boast at? Where is your confidence set? Some trust in horses and others in chariots. Some trust in all these things of the world. And if you could just hook up with the right person or be around the right people, then you're going to get ahead. But where should our confidence be? I will boast in this. I know the Lord my God. And I know his character, that he exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these he delights. And I will delight myself in the Lord. And he will give me the desires of my heart. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. He will make even your enemies at peace with you, if you will honor him and put him first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Sivra Masorai. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope produces joy. Hope is a joyful, confident expectation of good. Where is your hope? Where is your trust? Where is your confidence? Galatians, what has happened to all your joy? If you will place your confidence and your hope in Jesus, your joy cannot be robbed. Your peace cannot be taken away. Whether you're young in this room or you're older, you can experience the peace, the love, and the joy of God no matter what's taking place in life. Hallelujah. The enemy might come at you one direction. He's going to flee in seven. Hallelujah. The Lord is your victory and he can be your confidence. The Bible says he said to Abraham, I am your shield. I am your exceedingly great reward. Will you hope in him again? Will you trust in him fully again, withholding nothing? And whatever is weighing upon you, whatever is stealing and robbing your joy, take it and put it at the feet of Jesus and say, I trust you as Lord. I put my hope and my confidence in you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I will not live afraid. I will not live in anxiety. I will not live worried about what's going to happen to me. I have placed my hope and my confidence in Jesus. I will not be shaken and I will not be moved because I hope in you, Lord God. Hallelujah. You will not be put to shame. He will lift you up and he will strengthen you with might by his spirit in your inner being. You're going to learn to walk in a strength beyond your own. When you put your hope and your trust in Jesus. Amen. Father God, tonight, hallelujah. We come before you in faith in Jesus, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of our hope is in you. All of our confidence is in you, mighty King. Lord, anything that's weighing upon our hearts, Lord God, Lord, we give it to you now. We say, Lord, that, Lord, why should we be anxious? Hallelujah. Why should we be fearful when we serve you, such a good and faithful God? Yes. Hallelujah. You are kind and loving and merciful, mighty King. So tonight, Lord, we renew our faith in you. Yes. Hallelujah. We say we trust in you with all of our heart. Hallelujah. Leaning not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways, we will acknowledge you, God. And we thank you that your promises, you will direct our path. You will show us the right way to go, mighty King. Hallelujah. So Lord, fill us with your joy in your presence again. Restore unto us the joy of your salvation, faithful God, because we have set our hope and our confidence in you. We will not be shaken and we will not be moved, mighty God. Hallelujah. Be glorified in your church. Help us to stand firm in faith in Jesus. Amen. Amen.